here with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We will be discussing what the Burlington schools are doing to confront racism following a state report that documented a racially hostile environment. But first, it is our spring membership drive that is officially underway at WPR. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Hi, Jean.
Hey, good morning, Kate.
We're here to say that you rely on the Ideas Network for these informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like The Morning Show going strong.
We sure do, and that's because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And it's why your gift of any amount right now makes such an important difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And here's such a cool thing. Today, support WPR and your gift will go twice as far.
Nice.
Yes, all donations up to $85,000 will be matched by a group of very generous members.
Yeah, what a great opportunity. And thanks to all of those members who have kicked in to make this possible. You can take advantage of their generosity, take advantage of this offer, and your support for the WPR programs you love will be doubled. You can do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've been talking about news you can use, right?
Yeah.
Antigen, COVID tests, and what the future holds when you see these on store shelves, how to be an informed consumer about these tests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is such important, valuable information. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
Every day, Monday through Friday, WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every single day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is that place. It's one place where that's true every day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Yeah, think about that $2 for a second. It's hard to buy much for $2 these days. But here at WPR, $2 a day makes an awful lot of news, talk, and music possible. It works out to about $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jean Purcell. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you depend on. And that's why your support during this spring member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is that $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. Well, I've got some news for you. You did do your part, but there's more to do because it's that continued support that keeps WPR going.
And if it's been a while since you donated, this is a perfect time to renew at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we will be so glad to have you back.
Indeed. And you can take advantage of the dollar-for-dollar match that we've been talking about this morning. It's a really great opportunity to make your donation to WPR go twice as far. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And as I say, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Eric in Madison says, after listening to WPR regularly for several years, it is way past time that I support something that I enjoy so much. Eric, thank you so much for your support. Your gift right now, so critical, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now the Burlington Area School District must submit a corrective action plan soon to the Department of Public Instruction addressing a racially hostile environment following an investigation of at least 19 incidents of racial harassment in district records spanning 2016 through last year. We spoke with Darnisha Garbati last week. She's a parent who had tried to get the district to respond to how her daughters were treated.
Being called the N-word on a regular basis, students would yell it as they would be walking through the hallways, or if they would be sitting in class, they would be saying the N-word.
How do you think racism in our education system should be addressed? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Steve Plank is superintendent of the Burlington Area School District. Superintendent Plank, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yes, good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good morning. Parent Darnisha Garbati documented this for years. How could these incidents and the environment her daughters faced at Burlington schools just keep going on without action, without consequence for years?
Well, I would just simply mention that, you know, we are a school district. We're inside of a city, we're inside of a state, and frankly, inside of a country that's steeped in racism. And we certainly recognize that the schools can be at the center of that. I would also add that, you know, we've been committed to our ongoing examination of not only our own biases that influence our actions and some of the structures in our educational institutions that can reproduce those inequities and injustices. But we absolutely take reports from students and families very seriously, and we do investigate those as they're brought to our attention.
Why weren't teachers an ally? Why didn't they step in when they witnessed these incidents? Where did the intervention break down?
Well, it's difficult, certainly, for me to go back. As you know, I started in the district in 2019 and started the state back in 2016. But what I can tell you is that we are very committed to the work that lies ahead of us and collaborating with state agencies, whether that's DPI or other stakeholders. And we are really steeped in the work to dismantle racism, to take it head on, as we think everybody should. And so we recognize that takes time. We have started student clubs at both of our middle schools and high schools to create safe places for students to be, to create places for students to come forward, to have a trusted adult that they can speak to. We've engaged in some critical partnerships with other organizations to help us on this journey as well. We've even, you know, denounced racism publicly on a number of different occasions following things that run contrary to the beliefs of the school system.
So as you embark on this work, as you said, you take it head on, you start student clubs. Who is at the table as your district figures out what these next steps will be to be an anti-racist district? Is it just school board? Is it administration? Will you have grassroots groups getting a voice, like the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism?
Well, there's no doubt that as we work through this, our most valuable and most important constituency is our students. We want to and currently are collaborating with our students. We've worked to really remove any sort of adultism from the conversation so that when we sit at the table shoulder to shoulder with kids, we're all in this committed conversation together. So I think that's first and foremost critical. There's no doubt that our Board of Education is a policymaking body, and we take direction as an administration from our school board. But I also know that it is our desire to work collaboratively with stakeholders, be that community members, be that students, staff, or including and up to our Board of Education or others in the Burlington area community. So the goal here is to have, you know, people working together to be able to come up with the very best solutions going forward so that we can address concerns that have been articulated.
We're talking with Steve Plank, superintendent of the Burlington Area School District. Jacob is joining us from Burlington. Hi, Jacob. What is on your mind?
Well, the DPI has documented 19 cases over years, and parents and their supporters who have been speaking out about this for years. I mean, you said in your statement that this ruling came out, BASD would never intentionally harm or want to allow a student of color to be heard or to be hurt. But 19 cases, at what point does it become intentional disregard? I think you're a little disingenuous to say there was never intentional after this many cases and many more others undocumented. I think it becomes intentional denial.
Superintendent Plank.
Well, I can certainly appreciate the perception from Jacob that that's intentional denial. I don't believe that that was the case for the school system. I know that, you know, we're talking about incidences that were discipline related that were reported to DPI when asked. And we're also talking about a different report that is intended to be filed specific to discrimination complaints. And so those two things aren't the same in terms of reporting procedures, but we're working with DPI to make sure that we are not in plans, but doing the right work on behalf of all kids.
So the district needs to come up with a plan to prevent discrimination in disciplining students, as well as address the environment and review your practices for reporting discrimination complaints. The plan is due soon. What does your plan entail so far?
I think it's a great question, Kate. DPI pointed to sort of four things, two of them relatively technical and two of them pretty substantive. And the two technical ones had to do with policy and reporting. Our Board of Education did adopt a new policy manual in November, which was part of about a year's long work that they had undertaken. And so that policy, DPI has informed us, the one that was adopted in November, is statutorily compliant, which we were confident of. And we are working with DPI to understand what it is in terms of this reporting. We had spoken to DPI last July to ensure that we were on the right path and got some confirmation that we were. So this was a little surprising to us. But yet again, you know, we respect what DPI is asking for, and we'll do that. The more substantive part about discipline and environmental, we are working to put together a plan that covers categories that range from, you know, curriculum and materials to policies and practices, training and professional development, climate and culture, access and opportunity, those kind of five big broad categories, and how we can break them down. I would want to stress, though, that this plan is really a plan to support what DPI is asking for and will go to DPI. The real work is going to come after the plan, and that's when we really we'll have the time to sit down and put stakeholder groups together and have conversations. Because this 30-day window is really about, frankly, complying with what DPI is seeking. And so this plan is the beginning stages, certainly not the end.
Let's bring in Jay now in Green Bay. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. Great topic. I just wanted to make a comment on a personal experience that I had. I was an ESL teacher in Green Bay when the previous administration took office, and I worked with kids that were primarily pre-K through third and fourth grade. And while the overwhelming majority of the kids were super sweet and age-appropriate with their behavior and their comments, there was a percentage of kids that were consistently inappropriate and said really terrible things to the kids. And the truth of it is that what they were saying was not their words. They were parroting something they had heard, which makes it very challenging for a teacher, administrator, or whatever, because the kids are in the building for 8 hours a day. The other 16, they're somewhere else. And how you address that issue when they're hearing that kind of stuff outside of the building especially from someone that they respect or, you know, idolize, is extremely challenging for a school to deal with.
Jay, thank you for that. You know, Jay saying parroting what they have heard outside the school. How do you get your parents? How do you get your community to embrace this equity work, Superintendent?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we definitely recognize that this can be radical work. It's radical change. It's hard work. It's work that's going to take time, and measuring the impact of that, as Jay is mentioning, because we do represent kind of a microcosm of our larger community, and we know that. And so we recognize that this quest for justice for people of color, it requires deep soul searching and is a very dynamic and very complex experience. And so that's even why I was suggesting that the plan for us to submit is really just the beginning, because the real work of changing hearts and changing minds and working through attitudes and beliefs, that is a much more human experience. And we are talking about a human rights issue. And so we recognize the need to really take the time to do it right, not to just, you know, go through the motions.
Very quickly, I want to talk about personnel. Last fall, a teacher incorporated a Black Lives Matter lesson into her curriculum. She came under fire from parents, ultimately resigns. A high school teacher tells students about plans to go to Washington for Trump's rally before the Capitol insurrection in January. That teacher is placed on non-disciplinary administrative leave. What is your approach to investigating these incidents and teacher discipline?
Well, just to be clear, Kate, the teacher that you're referencing from last fall, you said that she ultimately resigned. That's not true. She is currently teaching at an elementary school here in our district, just to be clear about that.
Okay, thank you.
The teacher that is on leave, we are investigating just to ensure that there were no policy violations, that there were no state or federal crimes that were committed. And that is a process of interviewing kids and talking with parents and interviewing colleagues and staff. And so when it comes to those personnel matters, we definitely take those very seriously. We want to understand what has occurred and not just, you know, whatever might be out there on social media. We really need to do our due diligence to ask the different staff conversations and make sure that what is going on with kids in the classroom is representative of the fidelity of the instructional model that we've embraced.
Superintendent Plank, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Steve Plank is superintendent of the Burlington Area School District. I'm Kate Archer-Kend. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kend. Be sure to stay with us next hour as we talk about how to be social again, because, you know, face it, we're all a bit rusty. And now let's check in on our spring member drive that is underway. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Hi, Jean.
Good morning, Kate. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for the WPR programs you value. And that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And it's a great time for that support, because a group of generous members have created a challenge, up to $85,000, if you can believe it, to inspire you to support WPR today. And what a great challenge. Thank you so much for that. So for as long as it lasts, your gift will be matched.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. That is such good news. And there is still room in the challenge for your gift. So double your impact for WPR with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, in the last segment, we heard about racism in a Wisconsin school district. how it's being dealt with. We had the superintendent on as a guest. We heard from listeners, and we had a conversation about one of the most important topics that we are talking about these days. And these are the types of conversations we have every single day here on the Ideas Network, and the kind of conversations you can count on from the morning show.
Absolutely. WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And get your pair of WPR pint cups. They're stackable, steel, clean canteen cups, and they are perfect for everyday use or for your next outdoor adventure. So you can support the programs you value and show off your love for WPR and have a drink of your favorite beverage at the same time. But it all starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's your support during this spring member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And a reminder that today, if you support WPR, your gift will go twice as far. And that's because all donations, all the way up to $85,000, will be matched by a group of very generous members.
Love it. Take advantage of this offer, and your support for the WPR programs you love will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear from listeners all throughout our drive, and that's one of the great benefits of member drives. We heard from Sharon in Appleton, who says, I am donating on behalf of a friend of mine who passed away from breast cancer and was an avid WPR listener. Well, Sharon in Appleton, thank you so much for your gift, and thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. ¶¶